What is our capacity to gain paranormal abilities and develop our higher powers of consciousness? In a moment, Michael Goddard joins us, researcher and author. We'll talk about that. His latest work is called A New Now, and we'll be back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you about our guest. International consultant, researcher, author Michael Goddard has been actively developing his sense of knowing and accessing his higher consciousness for more than three decades. Back in March of 2013, he began to recover his past lives, eventually recovering 88 past lives at that time and depicting them in vivid detail in his memoir, In Search of Lost Lives. His latest work is called A New Now, Your Guide to Mastering Wisdom Daily, Achieving Equilibrium and Empowering Your Nobler Self. Michael, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you, George. It's wonderful to be back with you.
And how are you? Everything fine?
Yeah, everything is fine. I wrote out the COVID bubble, which I guess is continuing, and I've been doing radio shows since my new book came out, podcasts.
Oh, that's perfect. How did you get started with all this?
I'm sorry, how did I get started?
Yeah.
With this book, or?
With the entire field.
Well, it really happened when we moved from a perfectly planned community, a suburb of Chicago, when I was 10 to Marin County. And I don't know if it was the mist blowing in from the San Francisco Bay, but when I was 10, I just automatically began to try to contact higher beings, higher spirit beings, and have them write through me. I began to teach myself hypnosis. And right after I turned 11 in Marin, I confronted the idea of death. I didn't have an out-of-the-body experience, but I knew, you know, I would die eventually. I'd been raising tropical fish since I was five, and fortunately, every few weeks,
they die.
Floating, you know, on the surface, and I'd have to catch it in a net and flush it down the toilet. So I really wanted to grapple with the fact that I was here for a limited time, and eventually I'd be flushed down some big toilet in the sky or underground, hard to tell at that time. And I began to try to open my consciousness by opening my eye center. For some reason, I just sort of drew my attention there automatically. And I decided I don't care what worldly achievements come to me. You know, I was always a terrific student. I wanted to discover the answer to life and death. Basically, when I was 11, I set out to achieve the goal of immortality and to find the path that would deliver it.
Were you afraid of death?
Well, yeah. I was so afraid that I thought if I didn't do something this lifetime, I might lose my chance. I mean, I used to try to experience death while living. I'd lock myself in the bathroom I shared with my father and brother and stare at myself without my eyes. I was trying to open my third eye and try to experience what death was like. And I would just break out into a cold sweat. My knees would start shaking and buckling. And I felt really nauseous. I mean, I would go to bed, you know, each night. I started just praying automatically. We weren't a religious family, but I prayed starting at the age of eight, just thanking God for everything I'd been given, being grateful. But I just decided I wanted to achieve literal immortality, if not figurative immortality, like being an actor and living for who knows how long in movies or writing books, which it turns out I'm doing. I thought I'd be a diplomat. So really, death became a driving force in my life.
Yeah, you know, for me, Michael, it's also time. Time goes by so fast.
Yes, well, time's an illusion, as we know, George. It's very real because we have to deal with it. I mean, we could have had the program set up from 3 days from now and be talking now, maybe on another plane. But we have to deal with time. And as we discovered so poignantly and heart-rendingly, a lot of people we thought who'd be with us in 20 years, 5 years, or who knows how long were taken, you know, the past few years. And even if, you know, you didn't die with COVID, when you get in the car, you don't know if you'll get out of it. So I'm not asking people to encourage any fear, but rather everyone has been given the most precious gift possible. And I'm not talking about any number of billions of dollars. I'm talking about their human life. And with this human life, you have the innate ability of becoming paranormal. I mean, rising above the state of consciousness that most people are in, having their lower negative minds, their driving force, you can overcome that and rise to a level of consciousness you've never dreamt about.
And when you say becoming paranormal, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is first evolving to a state where your higher mind is dominating your lower mind. And I can clarify what I mean by higher mind and lower
okay.
mind.
Okay, sure.
But by being paranormal, there are so many fascinating outer phenomena. I mean, people who can walk on tightropes, Bigfoot, I mean, you name it. There's just all these phenomena that haven't yet been explained scientifically. But we're caught up in the physical. What I would like to open people's awareness to is noumena, things that can't be verified at this time, at least scientifically, that aren't really happening in the physical. There are higher dimensions, and we don't get there with the spaceship. I mean, finally, William Shatner got to go in space.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's wonderful at 90 years old. I mean, the real thing. I was there for the first show. I watched every episode of Star Trek. I loved it.
You were a Trekkie, huh?
I'm a Trekkie. I didn't always give people the salute, but we loved it because it was exploring new worlds. And the thing is, we don't need a spaceship to do that. All you need to do is sit in your recliner, concentrate your attention with the right meditation, and gather your soul and mind currents to your eye center. And at that point, you can pierce this energetic aperture and begin inner space travel, which is far, far vaster than anything in the physical. I mean, our whole physical universe is really nothing but a bubble that's growing and going to explode at some point.
Are some people more paranormally inclined than others, Michael?
Oh, absolutely, George. And a lot of it depends on what we've been developing in our past lives. Last time I was with you, we talked about my memoir, In Search of Lost Lives, and in all the 88 past lives I wrote about,
right,
including 71 human and 17 animal. Well, I've been searching for a spiritual path of immortality for my last three lives. I mean, three lives ago, when I was an architect in post-American Revolution Baltimore, I was an architect designing commercial buildings, and I became aware of the Comte de Saint-Germain, who was reputed to have lived for centuries, and I read every little pamphlet I could find on him. So this has been continuing. It's been a progression. I'm sure most of our listeners tonight are people who have been on some kind of path for at least several lives searching. That's the key, to search for truth, especially today in our wild climate. I mean, truth is at a premium. And that's why I love the name of the network, Premium Network, because it's up to each of us to use our best discrimination to discern what is truth and what is not.
I love book titles, and yours is A New Now. Tell us about that.
Well, A New Now is really a new reality you can step into. And my handy guide is a very easily understood guide for gaining a higher consciousness, higher awareness. I write about the 33 mystical wisdoms, the 11 loving wisdoms, the 11 guiding wisdoms, and the 11 evolutionary wisdoms. And I also write about the 10 keys to achieving equilibrium. Equilibrium and wisdom go hand in hand. And with that, you can basically engineer your higher evolution to a new now. So you're living more and more in the present. A lot of writers write about being in the now. It's easy to say, but we're constantly being pulled by the mind back into the present and projecting into the future. And we don't have control over our minds. Our minds are controlling us. Ultimately, we want to be in control of the mind. I mean, who we are is actually the soul, but the soul has been completely overwhelmed, overpowered by the mind, which is what we need to operate in the physical and the next two higher planes of existence.
There is no question that we are going through some strange times right now, Michael.
Oh, we are. It's sort of like the forces of negativity, but also the forces of positivity are each growing and battling each other. I mean, there are so many wonderful, fabulous people doing so much good in the world, but then there's a lot of people who are just ruled by negativity and taking us to swear that. Basically, I don't know if you want to talk about creation, but basically,
we can, sure.
Sure. Basically, there are different levels of creation, and there's sort of like a sub-administrator in charge of each plane. And really, the ruler of the mental and physical creation, who is doing everything, under the supervision and allowance of the highest supreme being, who has no name, basically, he doesn't want any souls to escape his domain.
So you bring in a God factor, though, don't you?
Yes, I do. And the reason I'm so thrilled we're on again and we can talk about a new now is that this lifetime, each of us has the opportunity to go within. And when I say go within, I'm talking about withdrawing our consciousness to the eye center. That's the point between and above, a little bit above our eyebrows, that is really the gateway to higher consciousness. You don't need to be a Trekkie, although for some people it'll help, but with the right meditation, you can withdraw your consciousness and enter realm upon realm of higher realms that make this world look like a dirty toilet, to tell you the truth.
Interesting.
And if you've ever traveled in India like I have and had to go to the bathroom, even on the drain, you've really got to steel your senses because it's pretty gross.
Not very hygienic, is it?
Yeah, well, it's become much more hygienic. But when I was really actively going around in India in the 70s, it was quite my nose is quite full of a lot of curious.
You've talked about higher mind and lower mind.
Yes.
What are those two distinct things?
Oh, okay. The lower mind is the mind that is ruled by the passions. It's the mind that's ruled by your ego, anger, lust. Have you ever seen anybody just explode in anger?
Just like that. Boom.
Yeah, they're being ruled by their lower mind. Higher mind is the part of you that really wants to be good, that is seeking a higher existence, that has the higher capacity for knowing. Now, most of us are ruled by our lower minds. I mean, people act out because they have no control over their minds.
Is it like the reptilian brain?
Yeah, that's part of it, absolutely. We've been in lower life forms, and really our evolution has been through higher life forms. I mean, we've been traveling with our soul and mind knotted together life after life. And that's why in my memoir, which we talked about in Search of Lost Lives the last time I was with you, I included 17 of my animal lives. When my negative actions outweighed my positive, loving actions, and I lost the ability to reincarnate as a human, and I had to come back as an animal. And believe me, most of the time it wasn't very pleasant. I had a lot of suffering. But as humans, we have the fifth element of Akash is active, which means we have a third eye, a single eye. With the right meditation, we can withdraw, we can concentrate our attention and withdraw our soul current through the inner eye, the third eye, and begin inner space travel, which is far surpasses language in terms of its beauty and the bliss you can experience.
Michael, what does wisdom mean to you in these five sources of wisdom that you talk about?
Wisdom is really knowing automatically how to be, you know, what to do and how to be moment to moment. And that's what I write about in the New Now. Each of us has this opportunity to develop the 33 wisdoms I talk about. And the 33 wisdoms is really a very powerful, mystical thing. And I give very down-to-earth, practical advice. I basically cover, you know, all the activities of life. So this is not an airy fairy book. A New Now is very practical and rooted in reality. But it's showing you how to step into a higher reality where, you know, each of us is really God in swaddling clothes. Each of us is a potential God in our own right. We just have to follow the right path and practice the right practice.
And if we don't, what happens?
Well, I mean, we've been here for, you know, as we talked before, I've been a human for thousands of lives, incurring debts. You know, life is fair. It doesn't appear to be fair because, you know, it seems like the deck is stacked against us. And that is, I mean, we can't leave the three realms of the physical worlds, the astral and the causal, which is higher mind, until we have a clear slate. And ever since we've been humans, we've been committing good actions and bad actions. So it's just really, you know, the highest, purest form of physics. Every action begets a reaction. So if you go on a killing spree and kill 10 people or 100 chickens, that's going to cause a reaction. You're taking life. So we've been accumulating karmas. We've also been doing good things, like if you're giving food to somebody or, you know, any act of kindness.
Right.
So a lot of people are meant to come back. They want to come back. But there are a few of us who want to experience the highest reality possible. When I was 11 and praying to, you know, to whatever was in there, and I don't mean out there, I mean in there, I wanted to reunite with God, to tell you the truth. And that's the one advantage of being human. We can attain a state that angels and demons can only dream about. We're really the highest life form, George. We can attain godhood while in the human body. So we don't know what actions we've committed in the past. Some of us, very advanced people, can know that. But just to be human, we've had a number of past lives where we've created a lot of good and bad actions that have to reap their result. As you so shall you reap. There are a lot of gems in the Bible.
Michael, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about your work, A New Now. And, of course, let's get into creation and get your thoughts on what exactly you think it is. Michael Goddard, our special guest. And, of course, next hour, we will take phone calls with him as we talk about this higher consciousness that we're talking about. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com as well. It is his last name, GODDART.com. And we will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Michael Goddard as we talk about A New Now. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Michael Goddard as we talk about a higher equilibrium and consciousness. So make sure you're continuing to be part of the program. And we're back. George Norrie with you. Michael Goddard with us. His latest work is called A New Now. Michael, somebody picks up the book, reads it. What's the most compelling aspect of the book you'd like them to get?
Well, it's really creating a new relationship with yourself. It's really a powerful step inward to realizing your best self, coming into your power.
Now, let's talk about creation. In your opinion, based on your research and the things that you've gone through, how did it happen?
Well, it's funny you ask, because you can't really understand the creation until you rejoin the Creator. But
That's probably true.
That's true. And there are mystical spiritual paths to reunite you with the Oversoul, the infinite being that has no name, that's been called all kinds of names throughout time. But the creation really happened, really, it's really a game of love. God is playing with its own power. It sure doesn't feel like that at times, but it's really a game of love. And so the creation happened, and there are basically different major regions of creation. And one region, you know, denizens of one region, which are far vaster of our physical, are unaware pretty much of what is below, above them and whatnot.
Is there a purpose for creation, Michael?
Well, you know, you could, you really can't understand it till you rejoin the Creator. But really, it is to create more love. And the problem is, to come down into the mental and physical regions, we had to assume a mind. Each of us has a very active mind, and for humans, there are five active elements, including ether. That's our sense of discrimination. Now, originally, we had a blank slate. It was like the Garden of Eden. But with every action, it began a reaction. So everything is totally fair. It's just you can't see it. That's really one of the laws of the creation, that people, for the most part, don't know what they suffered or enjoyed in their past lives. And that's what I wrote about and we've talked about in Search of Lost Lives, my spiritual memoir. In which I, you know, recovered so many past lives.
In A New Now, is this something that is supposed to help somebody get through life?
Oh, absolutely. It really can raise you to higher level after higher level to really help you gain wisdom. And when you rise above the down-pulling mind, you're really developing your intuition. Which is really one of your powers of knowing. So each of us has this great power of knowing or intuition where we just know automatically what now. So it's really beginning to live in the eternal present. Because beyond the mind regions of creation, there is no mind. There is no time. Time and death go hand in hand. The name, you know, the short name of the ruler of the three realms, the physical, the astral, and the causal, which is, the name is Kal, K-A-L, which really means time and death.
When you look at why we're here and what our purpose is, and I don't want to use money as a barometer of success, but would you say that people who have seemed to have made a lot of money, a fortune in their endeavors, whether it was Jeff Bezos with Amazon or Elon Musk with his work and Bill Gates and Stephen Jobs and people who are creative and develop things. But would you say that most of them would fit the T of the book, A New Now?
Most of them would. I'm sorry, I missed one word.
Would they fit into that book as part of their success?
They could. I mean, each of them has their own individual trajectory, and they've created all these new entities and enormous riches for various reasons. You know, we really don't know. I mean, somebody becomes a spiritual master, either they came down with that and it was just like lighting a match to a huge haystack, or you know, they started at a certain place and grew into it. But really, A New Now is for everyone who wants to really have a heightened consciousness, who wants to make best use of your life. You know, the sad fact is we don't know what our actions were in the past. We don't know if we went on a killing spree and, you know, murdered 29 people. I mean, we used to have a rash of mass killings. Well, every action begets a reaction. And, you know, the bad actions seek the redress as well as their good actions. I mean, there are people who've been totally selfish and gone to poor countries and helped people enormously. And, you know, there are some people who are rewarded with a stay in a so-called heaven. I mean, all the inner regions that you gain when you do soul and mind travel, I mean, seem like heaven, but people can earn their own, what I call bespoke heavens, and they may be there for a seeming eternity, but eventually they have this huge pile of debts, you know, which, you know, Eastern mystics call karma, which is, you know, basically action, and they have to come back to fulfill that. So it's just pure physics, the law of action and reaction.
How important is reincarnation to this?
Well, you know, it's essential. I mean, it's going to happen, and a lot depends on how you act in this life. And that's why we want to gain predominance over our lower minds, which we talked about in the first segment. You want to empower your higher mind, and that's what a new now does. I mean, most of us have done mean things and done things we regret. You don't know if you're going to come back as a human. We talked a lot about that in our previous shows. I mean, when I was a skunk, when I was a, you know, a wild dog, that wasn't much fun. But so many of my human lives, I suffered enormously. And I don't want to bring that back on myself. Now, you know, the higher levels of existence, which you can experience here and now. I mean, the human body is an inestimable gift. Now, all these wonderful creative people you mentioned who are making the world a much better place, but not in all cases, They can't take $1 with them when they die.
That's right.
Maybe their desires to have wealth, that's going to inform some reincarnation down the road. But really, the only thing you can take with you is your love and devotion for higher power, for the ultimate source of being. So if you have this ardent desire to rejoin, to reunite, let's call it the ocean of love, that's this highest state of being that has no name, that is sheer wonder and love. If that is your most ardent desire, you are a seeker, and you will find that ultimate end of infinity and eternity.
Well, Michael, during World War II, General George Patton believed that it was his destiny to do what he did. Now, you write about destiny. Is that one of the same things we're talking about here, your destiny and his?
Well, I mean, you can't really be born without destiny.
Without it.
Yeah, I mean, each of us has a destiny to go through. It's basically it's called your prolabdha karmas, and this is a set of karmas that are drawn from your sinchit karmas. These are Sanskrit words. So sinchit means your reserve of karmas. Remember, I was talking about us, you know, living life after life. You know, and if you kill, you know, 1,000 chickens, that's going to create reactions. If you commit 1,000 wonderful acts of kindness, each of those are reactions that can all be returned in this life. It's just really mystical physics. So these are all karmas. It's the law of action and reaction. And prolab karma, your destiny karma, is what you're meant to go through. So General Patton, he was working through a certain destiny. I mean, people become famous who you wonder, you know, why did this actor, you know, meet this person who cast him in this role and that role, and someone who's actually much more talented remains undiscovered. You know, it's all part of your prolab karma, your destiny. But you can create, but you're also creating karmas that are going to become part of a future destiny.
Do you bring in helpers, the spirit guides, into your thought process?
I sure do. I mean, I live, I exist always with, you know, what I consider the highest spirit guide anyone can find, and that's someone who's gone beyond mind and Maya. That's mind and an illusion, really. Maya is illusion. So, I mean, the thing is, if you were, remember we talked about withdrawing your consciousness through the eye center and reaching your third eye, you know, and then you're beginning to go into the astral region. It, I mean, if we think of our universe as being vast, it's like, you know, as I said, from God's vantage point, the highest supreme power, it's like bubbles forming and popping way, 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 hundreds of miles away in the distance. I mean, our physical creation is nothing compared to the higher realms of creation. And this is available to any human.
Does a new now make you a better person?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to make you kinder and gentler. But more important, it's going to empower your nobler self. And it's going to really rocket fuel your search for gaining your mastery over your mind. We've been led astray by our lower mind through ages. We've committed sins. Sin is basically meaning to go against the laws of nature, to cause pain. If you're killing somebody, if you've got a handsaw and they're roped down and you're sawing through their neck,
oh my God,
that's causing a lot of pain. And you're going to have, it's creating karma, which we talked about before, and you're going to have to come back and pay that off somehow. Now, there are paths of meditation where you can rejoin let's just call it the God current. It's really the focused God current. And meditating on that, you can cleanse yourself of all these actions and reactions, these karmas you've accumulated through countless lives, and purify yourself to go higher and higher beyond mind. I mean, each of us is busy. We wouldn't be alive if it weren't for our souls. So each of us has a living, divine, always living spark of divine within us. That's our soul. It's a drop of the internal ocean of being.
Have you come up with the rationale of why we're here in the first place?
Well, there are certain, you know, I mean, there are different stories that have come across, you know, from saints. It's sort of like God or whatever you want to call the supreme being wanted to play a game of love with himself. So he sent, you know, he asked souls to come down, and many souls willingly came. But, you know, the stories through advanced mystics through the ages say that 1/9 of the souls didn't want to leave their ocean of bliss of being. And those souls are the marked souls. You know, remember Jesus said, I come for my sheep, they'll know when I whistle. He had 12 disciples. Well, God is an equal opportunity God. I mean, always on a planet, there is at least one fully enlightened master, or call them a saint, a mystic adept, that is here for his or her allotted number of sheep. They know when she'll whistle. And so certain of us are meant to begin our journey back in this lifetime, and you may be one of them. But the point is, I mean, the ultimate God is all love and forgiveness. So even though if you're not marked, if you're part of that huge, huge, beyond infinite number of souls who came down, those 8/9, if you harbor this ardent desire to return to God, you can. That can become your new now. Our world is filled with so much strife and friction and sects warring against each other.
Way too much, Michael.
And we don't have to live like that. We're meant for higher things.
What did you mean by call of the seeker?
The call of the seeker, which I lived through, I mean, this is why I began my mystical journey at the age of 10. The call of the seeker is to find something higher and better. It's to find the ultimate love. I mean, it's wonderful to be fascinated by all the phenomena in the world. Well, I want to open people's eyes to what is within them. Each of us is a sleeping God, and saints don't come here to perform miracles. They come here for their sheep, to initiate those who are meant to return to the Godhead.
And the Groom Your Destiny.
Yes, Groom Your Destiny is a really fabulous wisdom I write about in A New Now. And basically, you know, we're here There are four really options. There are four options you can have. You can just live as if there's no tomorrow, just paying
with
off.
With your head in the sand, right?
Yeah, your head in the sand, or your head in somebody's butt, or in some...
Michael.
Some call. I'm sorry, that just somehow came out of me. But you can just live as if there's no tomorrow, which is fine, but you're caught in the web of time, so you will be coming back for tomorrows. Or you can choose to live with a goal in mind. I mean, there are so many gifted musicians and writers out there who may not make it. Or you can groom your destiny by, you know, forming the desire to, you know, write the most beautiful, uplifting music possible. I mean, someone like Mozart didn't just happen out of the blue. I mean, he came in. All these great people, I mean, Descartes, came in with this built-in ability.
Were they special? Where did the abilities come from?
Well, it came through training, and also came through work between lives. I mean, the reason, one reason I was able to recover so many lives is that before this lifetime, I did special work to be able to transcend time. I mean, I was able to go back hundreds of thousands of years more readily than I could, you know, go back in this lifetime.
Well, that's amazing. Michael, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about Anew Now and take phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.